Thank you. Shades Mountain, it's so good to be back with you. I'm so excited about this night. I've been looking forward to it. We've got people at our church that are praying for this night, for you tonight, and for these missionaries and all that God is going to do. Isn't it amazing to think that we could be unified as the body of Christ, that somebody in Houston could be praying for something happening in Alabama right here, and God can hear those prayers and do great things? I am so glad to be with you. I love your pastor. This guy is an amazing guy, Danny and Janice. They are so awesome. So thank you, Danny. I listen to his podcast, and we are connected and friends, and we go to a conference together that we've been at for many, many years. And so what a journey he has been on. And I just want to add my words of what an amazing pastor you've had in this season of your life and of your church. And so, Danny, just from a distance, thank you for all your ministry and all that God has done. And then secondly, before we get to the Bible, your worship center looks amazing from the last time that I was here. It looked great then, but man, way to go. It is awesome. And somebody take a picture of me on these screens and send it to my wife, you know, so I want to show my kids how cool I am up on these big things here. But it is awesome. So way to go with that as well. Missions is incredible. My family has been on mission trips. We have been on mission trips. I actually at one point didn't have a heart for God on missions. I'll tell you about a little bit later. But then at one point, I had this amazing moment in missions. Here's what happened for me. I had been to so many dangerous places that I could not get more life insurance. I was uninsurable. And I got home and I told my wife, Kelly, I said, "We are living for Jesus. This is awesome. When they won't even insure you, this is great." And so I'd been to all these crazy places. But let me tell you what you see when you go to those crazy places type things is you see God at work in an amazing way. You see God doing something so great. And so what I want us to do is to take a look and to see what God is doing, not just today, but what is the future look like? What has God got going on in heaven? I want us to get a little bit of a view. Now, there's an interesting thing. Some of y'all might remember this. It was February 14th, 1962. CBS and NBC both broadcast this, and then ABC did it 4 days later. It was the first tour that anybody had ever gotten of the White House around Christmas time. Jackie Onassis Kennedy, she wasn't Onassis Kennedy, Kennedy Onassis, I guess. Jackie Kennedy was that part. And she did a primetime documentary. Let me show you a picture of JFK and Jackie. This was Christmas time. And she did a documentary. If you pull it up on YouTube, you Google for it, it's a black and white thing. And it was something historic for this reason. Ladies, it was the first program that was geared towards women. First TV program that was geared specifically towards women. And now, guys, we can't find a show for guys anymore. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I've been watching Hallmark Station every Sunday night. I'm watching Wind Calls the Heart now after church with my daughter. And she's like, "This is awesome." I'm like, I guess it every time what's going to happen. You know, it's, you know, the Hallmark thing. It's like, you know, I leave town. I go to the big town. I come back to the small town. I find my boyfriend from the small town. I break up with my boyfriend from the big town. And then we kiss at the town square on Christmas Eve, right? That's the whole plot. That's it. Typically, there's a villain in a plaid shirt somewhere, you know, trying to ruin the bakery. But besides that, it's all the same. So now this was the first one. It was geared specifically for ladies. They videotaped the first glimpse that the American public had of the $2 million restoration of the White House. And here's what happened. The program was viewed by 80 million people globally. It went to 50 different countries, including Russia and China. What happened is everybody got so interested. We want to see what the White House looks like. We want Jackie to take us on a tour. And here's what you're going to see. I want us to look in Revelation chapter 5. Let's let God take us on a tour of heaven. Of what does it look like in heaven? Because this whole mission's goal is to make heaven look different, right? So going to the White House is great. That's awesome. I hope you get to do it sometime. But to be able to go to heaven where you're going as a believer and to look into Revelation chapter 5 and to see what God wants and what he's putting together, I want us to see this so that we can glimpse there to get something going on here. So Revelation chapter 5 is where we're going to be, and we're going to begin in verse 8. So if you got your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And this is what it says.
And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. Verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open up its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God so that they shall reign on earth. Here's what takes place in Revelation chapter 5. We get a glimpse of what's taking place in heaven. And what do we see there? We see that the elders and the angelic beings, they bow down and they worship the Lord. They worship the Lord. See, what happens in our lives is worship is a combination of praise and prayer. Worship is a combination of praise and prayer. Did you see them fall down on their face before the Lord? They fall down on their face and they're worshiping, but yet there is golden bowls filled with the prayers of the saints. So what happens here is worship is prayer and it is praise. And let me tell you what missions is. Missions is the same thing. Missions is a combination of prayer and praise with an eye on people. Missions is a combination of prayer and praise with an eye on people. So what are we doing? We're going to pray. You're going to pray this week. I hope you've already been praying. But praying for these missionaries, praying for God's work through Shades Mountain throughout the world, praying that God would do something great. We can do a lot of great things, but if we don't really pray, then we don't really are tapping into the power of God. I've got three ways that I start my day. Number one is prayer. I pray, I plan, and I proceed. Those are the three ways I do it. I pray, I plan, I proceed. What are most of us doing? We're proceeding, we're then planning because it's not working, and then we're like, dear Jesus, help me. Dear Jesus, right? Reverse the order. Make the first thing you do to pray. I've got a prayer kneeler in my office, and the first thing that I do, I literally write it on my to-do list, A1, pray. That's what I do. And I get on my kneeler, and I pray. So I was praying for you guys this morning in Houston, knowing I was coming here tonight, and praying. So missions begins with prayer. It begins with praise as well. If God's not worthy and God's not able to be worshiped, then we don't need to go do all this stuff. This is a lot of trouble. This is a lot of danger. This is a lot of leaving home. Let's just all just kind of get our white picket fence and stay home, right? Why be uninsurable if it's not worth it to worship God? If it's not worth it to worship him, if he's not big enough and grand enough, then let's just stay home and watch TV, right? There's another Hallmark movie coming out every 10 minutes, so we could do that. But missions is when we worship the Lord and we pray and we keep our eye on people. I want them to know the worship that I have. I want them to know the God that I'm speaking to. I want them to have a relationship with the Lord. I want to praise him. So let me break it down. They fell face down and they sang a new song to the Lord. Did you hear that? Face down, new song to the Lord. You know what I enjoyed just about our worship here? Some of those were new songs to me. And I was worshiping new, going, wow, this is really, really great to worship in that way. I just want to ask you, at the beginning of a missions endeavor, in the beginning of a missions conference of emphasis, how's your worship? How's your worship? Not do you like the songs, do you love Jesus, right? Your worship will determine the volume of your heart for missions. If God's not worthy to be worshiped, then he's not really worthy to get on a plane and go someplace else for, or to give our resources, or to give our time, or to give our efforts, or to give our lives. But if he's worthy of worship, that changes everything. Now God's grand and high, and the 24 elders fall down before the throne of God. The angelic beings fall down, face down, and they sing a new song. Here's what I'm asking. Is your worship fresh? Is your walk fresh? Just yesterday, I was pulling into the church in Houston, and I pulled in, and there was a song on in my car, and I got too many things to do. I don't have time to be sitting listening to songs in the parking lot, and I went, I never have too much time, too many things to do that I can't just stop when God lays a song on the radio on my heart or whatever I was listening to at that moment. I think it was a radio station in Houston, a Christian one. And I just started just worshiping the Lord, just saying, thank you. And here's what happened. In that moment, I just sensed the Lord saying to me, I've called you to this church for this moment and this time. Now think of the confidence then I got out of the car and went up to do all the stuff that happens when you're a pastor for the day. Because I worshiped, I received the call, I was reminded of the calling to step into what the work was and to get it done. Is your worship fresh? Is your walk fresh with God? Do you need something new? You know, there's two ways, let me put it like this. I'll open up the freezer. My wife is a great cook, and I'll find sometimes in the freezer brown bananas. And I didn't know why we were keeping rotten bananas in the freezer, but then when I start eating that banana nut bread, it is awesome. So ladies, I learned something, or guys, if you're the cook, that banana nut bread comes from brown bananas. That's great, but that's about the only thing that comes from brown bananas. And my wife can make the best banana nut bread. No kidding, Danny, this is so discouraging, okay? We sent out an email of my wife's chocolate chip banana nut bread recipe. It was the most opened email in the history of our church. I was like, we gotta work on this a little bit. I mean, I'm sending videos and devotionals and, you know, my wife's banana, and some of you are like, well, can I get it? Is it online? I'd like to get it. Because I used it as an illustration and bragged on it because, you know, that was a good, I get to eat it. It's good. It's good stuff. But brown bananas only work for that. But yellow bananas, they'll work for anything, right? You want those fresh ones. My grandfather was kind of a character. He said, Greg, I've gotten so old, I don't buy green bananas anymore. Because I don't know if I'll be around when they ripen. Fresh. We want that fresh worship. We don't want that pulling it out of the freezer, frozen, old rotten stuff. But to freshly worship the Lord, that's where a heart for missions really, really begins. And then prayer, this next part of prayer, did you see what it said there? It said, and then golden bowls of incense at the end of verse 8. They fell down and before the Lamb, Jesus holding a harp, and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I love this. Golden bowls full of incense. Let me just ask you, how's your golden bowl of prayer? Is it full? Or is it a fourth of the way full? Is it half full? How are the prayers of the church right now? Praying for your staff and your pastor and your worship service that you have on Sundays and all the things. Are you filling up their bowls? Golden bowls means something's precious in it. That's when you pull out the china, right, at Christmas or Easter. That's when you pull out the gold and the silver to be able to lay out there. This isn't plastic forks in a Dixie bowl. This is the golden bowls that hold the prayers of the saints. That's how precious prayer is to God. In heaven, a golden bowl filled with prayer. You see what I'm getting at? Full worship, full prayer, missions will take care of itself. Full worship, full prayer, fill that golden bowl. Now, just so you know, all of us, me included, I know I could pray more. I want to pray more. I want to be more of a prayer warrior. I wish my prayer list was longer. I wish I was more dedicated. I know 50 people at our church that are more prayer warriors than me. When my wife and I first got there 17 years ago, we said, you know what? We're going to be the most prayerful people in the church. And then we met about three people in the prayer ministry. Well, that ain't going to work. There's no way that's going to happen. These people they had holes in their jeans before you had to pay $100 to have holes in your jeans, right? Because it was just prayerful and filling those bowls of worship. I remember when I was a college minister, we got a map out of the persecuted countries, highly persecuted Christians in countries, and we just decided we were going to pray for the whole map. And we took a country a week, and it took us about a year to get through them all, to pray for them. Prayer is the most important thing. My wife and I went to Asia for 6 weeks, and we were there and had a great time. What a pleasure it was. We were in a college dorm is where we stayed. We had two single beds. It was like I Love Lucy, you know, every night kind of thing. And we had a great time. And we would walk. You could just walk around the city, this main part of the city, and we'd walk with our team and just walk in prayer around the city. Lots of times. It was so good on those 6 weeks. Another little funny thing, I kept trying to buy these college students ice cream, and I kept saying, you want some ice cream? Let me buy you some ice cream. No. And I had this guy with me. He had come to Christ. He used to be a bouncer at clubs. I mean, literally, big muscle guy. And so I would travel with him, and then it kind of got this thing, Greg always travels with a bouncer. I'm like, no, he's just my friend. He just happens to be muscular. And so he and I would get ice creams, and we would eat the ice creams going down the street on a hot summer day. And then finally, one of the students said, can I tell you, sir, why we do not eat ice cream? I said, sure. He said, only little girls eat ice cream on the street. And we're like, well, then they are smart. We just kept eating our ice cream. That's how it went. It was great. This big old muscle man friend of mine, he smuggled Bibles into this country, and it went through the X-ray machine that he was getting onto this train to get on it, filled with Bibles, but he couldn't get his jacket off, and the guy came around the X-ray machine and took off his jacket, and then the Bibles went through, and nobody was watching the TV, and the guy went, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is what he did like that. And then the Bibles just went right on through. God had a plan of working these things out. We were praying for him, filling our bowls, watching this happening. To be able to see that. So incredible. Now, let me think what my point was. Oh, praying on the wall in that city. That was my point. We would walk around that wall and we would pray for missions. The next thing that happens there is in verse 9, if you'll just move along with me. So the bowls are filled. They're face down before the Lord. In verse 9, they sing a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll. Do you know your revelation previous? It was, who's going to break the scroll? Well, here's who's going to break it. Jesus is the one worthy. And it opened and opened up the seals. For you were slain and by your blood ransomed people for God from every nation, language, people, and nation. Every tribe, language, people, and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God. Here's what I want you to hear. Did you hear that Jesus was slain? Slain. He paid the price on the cross. And when he paid the price on the cross, the earthly cross purchased heavenly unity. The earthly cross purchased heavenly unity. In Revelation 5, he's talking about every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people, all around the world. And how did it happen? By Jesus Christ dying on the cross. We got all sorts of unity problems in our nation, in our world, in everything, right? We're just divided upon divided. But let me tell you what the unifier is. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's a bowed knee at the cross. It's the blood of Jesus. That's the great unifier of all things. So Christians, to be unified as well. I just taught recently on the millennium with our church, and I said the millennium is 1,000 years of peace that Christians have spent hundreds of years fighting about. Isn't that interesting? 1,000 years of peace that we've spent hundreds of years fighting about. Well, man, let's unify around Jesus. All different views and all different stuff, but we can come around the cross of Christ. And that's what's happening right here. The death of Jesus shows God's heart for the world and therefore missions. Every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. Wow, what God can do. I can remember sitting on a porch as a missionary was home and he was talking to me. I was a young minister at the time, and I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but this is where my heart was. He was like, do you want to go on a mission trip? Would you like to go? We'd love to have you, all this stuff. I said, you know, that's not my thing. That's what I said. Like I get to choose what my thing is, you know, with the Lord, but that's what I thought at the time. That's not my thing. I said, you know, if God wanted me to minister there, he would have had me born there. And I could see this missionary going, what are you talking about, right? But my heart had not really grown into a place of worship and prayer of realizing that the cross of Christ that I had bowed my knee to in Houston, Texas, was launching my heart to make a difference in the entire world. In every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people. Let's just break it down. Do you know what a tribe is? A tribe is a subgroup of a nation, which is regarded as being more closely related biologically than the entire nation. So it's a group that's a little bit of a subgroup of a nation. Now, we don't speak tribally, but there's still countries that they, when you say tribe, they know what you're talking about. So it's a tribe. It's a smaller group that's together in a biological way oftentimes and different than the entire nation. Language, a dialect, a speech, a different language. We get that. What a different language is. You know, our church and your church, I'm going to brag on your church in just a second, but I brought this from home. This is a New Testament that our church translated. And when you look at it, I'm like, this cannot be real. I don't know if I do it like this or like this or like this or what. How does this thing go? And it was actually for a people group. The reason it's yellow, it's got a fake people group name because we can't put the people group's name on the book, on the Bible. Not a book, the Bible. It's a New Testament. Because if they find this group has this Bible, that could put them in great danger. But do you know that your church has been a part of great missions, biblical translations? When we get to the nations here of talking about this, I've got basically, they sent me, I asked a little bit of information on the Bible translation stuff going on in Shades Mountain. They sent me 3 pages. But they told me 35 minutes, and if the Spirit was moving, take 36. So I'm only going to hit the highlights, okay, of what's happening here. Just teasing. But to be able to have here, here's what your church has done. Your church, this church right here, do you know that because of Shades Mountain, 1,080,500 people are able to hear most of the New Testament and Genesis in their heart language? Do you know what that equals? That is basically the people of Birmingham. If you want to just get it in your mind, as you drive around this week, you can look and say, that person, that person, that person, that person, that. Every person you see this next week, this church is given not to Birmingham, but to the world, that many people, this Bible, a Bible in their native tongue. Also, in addition to translations, y'all have done teacher training so that they could better educate children, Bible storing, compiled an alphabet for each language, completed dictionaries and glossaries, distributed printed materials, led family literacy classes, developed glossaries, all sorts of things. You are doing it, church. Way to go. High five in the margin on languages. Way to go. You're nailing it. So, so cool. How many Bibles you have? I bet I can. Well, there's one that broke, my phone, but it didn't break, thankfully. I got a Bible on this one too, right? You do too. I probably got 20 at home and 20 more at the office. I can get it in so many different versions of my language. I could have the Hey Dude Bible in English, basically, right? So, and we're able to see here every nation, tribe, tongue, the tribe, the language, people. What is a people group? A people is a socio-political group sharing a presumed biological descent. So they descended from presumed, usually a socially, a biological descent that is developed into a socio-political group. That's a people. What is a nation? A nation is the Greek word for ethnos. It's where we get the word ethnic. Ethnos, a large group based on various cultural and physical or geographic ties. And so what do we see? Not in a glimpse with Jackie Kennedy going through the White House. What do we see when we walk into heaven? We see every tribe, every tongue or language, every people and every nation. What? Worshiping Jesus Christ. You're going to stand next to people from Iran, from Iraq, from Afghanistan. You're going to stand next to people from Pakistan, from India, from China, from Mexico, from Canada, from even Mississippi. People are going to be all over, from Texas even. It's going to be all over, people groups everywhere, worshiping the Lord in an amazing way. And I hope that fires you up because it gives us a vision of what God's doing. And then he says in verse 10, you've made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. What do priests do? Priests or pastors, we would say in our denomination, declare God's message to the people and declare people's needs to God. So what are we to be as Christians? It says that we'll be risen up as priests, that we'll be risen up to declare. We're to declare God's message to the people, and we're to declare declare people's needs to God. What did I just give you? I gave you worship and prayer one more time. Praise and declaration and sharing Christ and filling that golden bowl with the prayers of the saints. So when you leave from this place today, tonight, leave with a heart that says, Lord, you are worthy of everything, every dollar, every date on the calendar, every week of my life, every anything. It is all yours, Lord. And not only that, I want to begin praying and I want to ask you, God, to do greater things than I can imagine. Now, watch what happens here. Here's what happens here. Look at the next verse. Verse 11. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and living creatures and the elders a voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice. Do you know heaven's loud? Loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. There we are at the cross to receive. Now watch. This is so cool. Revelation will speak to things of the world in groups of four. So we saw tribe, language, nation, and people. Four things representing the world. Watch what happens. Worthy is the Lord who was slain to receive what? Or this, and then in heaven, it's seven things. So here's the seven things. Receive power, one. Wealth, two. Wisdom, might, honor, glory, six, and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, here comes the four, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So there we are. We're back to the circle again, aren't we? Of worshiping the Lord. You know how powerful it's going to be when we worship with all people from all tribes, all nations, all people, all languages. We had a friend of ours, you know, Houston is big in the oil business, so whenever you're paying for a lot of money in gas, just say, thank you, Lord, for blessing Houston, Texas, as I fill up this expensive gas here. But we've got all sorts of oil people, energy people, and they go all over the place. One of our guys, he said this, when we moved from the United States to the Middle East, I expected to have some restrictions on my religious freedoms. There were a few, but they had not hindered the thriving international church in my new home. Our city turned out to be a melting pot, one that included Christians from all over the world. Every Friday, hotel rooms across the Emirates, is where he was, became a place of worship for believers from many different nations, tribes, and tongues. My American worship experience had been rather homogeneous. Worship now looked more like the redeemed people of every tribe, nation, tongue, and people described in the Apostle Paul in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. Week after week, I witnessed a foreshadowing of this passage, a time still to come when the heavenly host will worship the Lamb as they sing about the saved from all the nations of the earth. Last sentence, we who are made to be kingdom of priests to our God. I didn't say, hey, I'm doing this talk. Could you give me a really good quote? That was the quote that he sent me just in an email. Hey, pastor, just wanted you to know. I was like, that's the Bible come to life right here. It says myriads of myriads of myriads of myriads, thousands upon thousands upon thousands. You know that the largest number that they could give in Greek was 10,000. Okay, that was the largest number. That's why it says 10,000 upon 10,000 is what it says in the NIV. It's like gajillion to gajillion, right? 10,000 was the largest number they had, and it just went over and over and over again. So if you were to take that and you were to multiply that out, you would end up with millions, right? 10,000s upon 10,000s upon 10,000. I'm going to give you just an illustration. I'll wrap up in just a sec. Now, I know Alabama well enough that I cannot mention specifics on college football, okay? I know. I understand. But there's stadiums all over the nation. And when it's Saturday and you turn on CBS and it comes on and you hear that music play in for that Saturday, and back in the day when Vern Lundquist would be standing there and he would begin that, there's just something that happens in your heart, right? No matter what team, you know, I'm A&M way over in Texas in the SEC. We're just glad y'all let us in. So, you know, y'all could beat up on us. You know, we had one good year and then that was about it. No, I'm kidding. We did great last year. But on and on it goes. I digress. I want you to think, though, if you took the 10 biggest stadiums, the 10 biggest stadiums on a college football Saturday, you'd end up with about 1 million people. I added it up. Here's what it would end up being. It'd be 1,017,919. 1 million. The 10 biggest college football stadiums on game day sold out Saturday. This is talking about 10 million worshiping in heaven. 100 million worshiping in heaven. You know what that's like? That's like God going, oh yeah, y'all got Saturday going on. Oh, look how cute that is down there. Oh, look at those stadiums. That's so great. Y'all are so sweet. He's got millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon 10 millions upon on and on and on all the heavenly hosts doing what? Worshiping him because he's worthy of it. And so what is missions? Missions is adding to that, just saying, we want more. We want more. We want more people. I want my heart. I want more jewels on my crown. I want more crowns in my hand so I got more ammo for worship to just throw it at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The song of heaven, power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, it states here. Glory and praise. You know, power was the first one of the seven and it was the last one of the four I gave you. Did you notice that? That he would have power given in the seven of heaven. And then we've got here the four. The power is the last one. But do you know what happens when we get back to earth? Here's what happens. The power moves and it changes a Greek word. The first Greek word in the power that said given to the Lord is this power of dynamis, which means dynamo, dynamite, that kind of power. The last power that we get at the ending of that verse, where it says, thousands upon thousands, worthy is the Lamb, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, blessing, this is the earth responding to him, blessing and honor and glory and might in the ESV or power, that is a Greek word that means ruling power. So what does that mean? It means we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. Let me put the whole thing together. Worship is praise and prayer. Missions is also praise and prayer with our eye on people. And when we see that happen, there's a new song in our heart, and it's fresh bananas. It's something good going on right here. And it's so good that all of heaven begins to worship, and unity happens across lines that no government can fix, no legislation can give. And Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ unifies the entire world as the creator, as creation is unified. So amazingly so that myriads upon myriads make a college game day Saturday look like Little League compared to the worship that's going on in heaven. And then we see the ruling power that Jesus wants to have in our heart as we declare the message of God to the people and declare their needs as well. Wow, I want to be a part of that because that's eternal. That's better than any White House telecast. It's a glimpse into heaven. I'll give you one last story and we'll conclude. I was in Asia the first time that I went, same place that I went for 6 weeks. This was the first time when my heart really got just lit up. And we were sitting in a taxi, and you'll find that part of missions work is traffic, okay? It's what it is. You spend a lot of time sitting in vans and cars and cabs going, what, you know, and then all of us, you know, as Americans, we're thinking of 19 ways we could fix this problem, right, is what we're thinking of. But they don't care, right? This is how the culture works. So you just sit and you do this. So we're sitting in a taxi. I'm sitting with two other ministry guys, each one of them a traveling speaker, doing all sorts of things, amazing stuff. And we're sitting there in this taxi cab, and I'm looking out, and I'm seeing this girl in orange pants. That's just how I remember it. And there's this piece, almost like you would park your car against the parking thing, a piece right there, and she would jump over, and she would jump back, and she would jump over, and she would jump back. And I sat there watching her as we're in traffic for like 15 minutes sitting in the same spot, and it was just this little game. At first I thought, man, you know, we've got so much, and they don't have so much. I went through that whole thing, and then I finally got to, I want to tell her about Jesus. I'm sitting in a cab. We got three seminaried guys here that have speaking abilities to speak, how do we tell them about Jesus? But we had no language skill. We had no translator. We had nothing. And here's what God spoke to my heart in that moment, and this is how it connects with tonight. I need to make it my mission and goal in life, one of them, to send people to her. Because there are folks that can go, and there are people that can learn the language, and there are people that can jump. And so this little girl with orange pants jumping back and forth like that, that was 25, 28 years ago, and it still rocks my world. And now I get to lead as a pastor to say, go, go, and we have a robust missions department as well. That little girl changed my heart. That made me so excited to see these folks running down here. Because those are the folks that I was dreaming about in the cab. Right? And I'm praying for them. And I'm giving to them. You're either praying, giving, going, or disobeying. Those are your four choices with missions. That's it. Praying, giving, going, or disobeying. Those are your four choices. Let's do these three and not this one here. And that little orange pants girl, meeting her was better than if I would have met Jackie Kennedy and toured the White House. And God wants to touch your heart, my heart.
And so I say to you, way to go. And yeah, let's do more. And then let's get to heaven and see this thing come to life in such a way that God does such great things. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God. We pray, Lord, that you would do your work in a powerful way in our hearts and our lives, Lord. We trust you. So grateful for Shades Mountain Baptist Church, for Danny, for his staff, for his team, making such a difference in the world. How incredible. The Bible translations, the missionary support, the things happening just in the community that's missional, across the street and across an ocean. And so we pray, Father, that we would be worshipers of Jesus, prayerful people, and you would touch our hearts, and we would see your life lived through us. Would you just take a moment right where you are and just pray? Maybe there's something I said. Maybe there's something in a worship song that you heard. And just say, Lord, I heard you. Just tell him you heard him. Then finally, would you just pray and say, Lord, just grow my heart for you in these next few days. Grow my heart. We love you, Lord. We can count how many seeds are in an apple, but we can't count how many apples are in a seed. And we get to plant some seeds this week. Wow. To be worshiped in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.